Now, last week on the show, we heard from ABC Sydney Breakfast host Wendy Harmer, and she was talking about how frustrating it is that employers are not replying to job applications that her children are putting in by the truckload.
So I've been through this with both my daughter and my son. My son has left uni and he's working in construction at the moment. And my daughter Maeve is still at uni, but she's looking for some part-time work. And both situations, they apply for job after job after job, and Maeve's still doing it. And there is no reply. There is no response.
Not even an acknowledgement that they're applying? Nothing.
An acknowledgement that the application has been received. And, of course, I think it would go a long way to bolster confidence in young people if there was some void, you know, some voice rather, echoing back from the void saying, at least we have your application.
We had a lot of texts after we played that, and they weren't just from young people. There was people talking about, yes, they're young students and they're young people fresh out of uni. It is tough times. Lots of people are applying for very few jobs, but also people had been applying for jobs for years and hadn't had any acknowledgement at all, and just about how dispiriting it is. So why don't businesses reply? We thought we'd get another perspective on this from Natasha Hawker, who's an HR specialist and a founder of Employee Matters. Hello, Natasha. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Gotcha. So it's pretty disappointing for people when they're really trying and putting themselves out there to not even get an acknowledgement that they're looking for work and have emailed or sent you in an application. Do you think businesses realise just how bad this is?
I don't think they do, and I think there's still way too many employers that don't respond to unsuccessful candidates. And I think they need to remember we live in a world of online reviews, and there's tools such as Glassdoor where employers and candidates can actually rate potential employers, and, you know, so there's really no excuse for this these days. You know, there's technology. We use a tool called JobAdder that makes it super easy to do an automated response. And I think, you know, one of my concerns is that candidate management is absolutely key. And while you may not want that employee this time around, maybe next time you do want them and they're not interested in working for you.
Well, it's just plain rude too, isn't it? It's like lack of manners.
Oh, definitely. I mean, for me, it comes down to professionalism and respect. And, you know, a lot of times these candidates, especially those ones that have been in the market for a long time, put a lot of time and effort into their application. And I do think, particularly in these COVID times, we need to be careful because, you know, being unemployed is not an easy place to be. And you've got some candidates who've never been there before. And we take a lot of our pride and our ego comes from our jobs. And I think with mental illness, you know, one in four Australian workers suffers from mental illness prior to COVID-19. And I'm really scared to see what the statistics are going to be on that now, the next time they do that study.
Well, that's the thing. You put yourself out there for a job application. You put your heart on the line to some extent, yourself on the line. And it's quite dispiriting, isn't it, if you don't get anything back?
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of risks for employers because the cost of not applying or replying to those individuals is much greater than the simple, polite professional letting them know. And you could damage your brand, both from a candidate perspective, but also a brand perspective. And remember, a lot of your candidates are potentially your clients as well. You've got to think about how they're going to talk about you in the marketplace. And
I
you
guess
need to be really clear.
Yeah, I guess in this day and age, though, it's a buyer's market. You know what I mean? They're on top. There's more people looking than there are jobs.
So long ago, literally a couple of months ago, Sarah, that it was flipped. So it's cyclical and it will come back around. And, you know, it takes a long time to build up a reputation and a very short amount of time to break it.
That's interesting, isn't it? And they could just do an automatically generated email too.
So simple. You know, with the one we often have that in our business and people actually say, thank you so much for getting back. And it's like, that was just an automated email.
Yeah.
But that just shows you the level of responses.
Do you think big business is better at this than small business or vice versa?
I think big business is better than this at this. You know, and I think you know, one of the things that candidates maybe need to do is write a polite letter to the MD and explain their experience from a recruitment perspective and how they feel about the company as a result. And they may want to raise it, especially our younger generation, on social media and be professional. But I think you're potentially going to get a job that way, because as an employer, I want people who are comfortable raising concerns in a professional way and want to improve the process. There's somebody
that you would want in your business. How do you get it to the MD, though? How are you going to get it to them?
Oh, well, look, you can look up on LinkedIn. You can Google who's the MD of any business, and that information is all
there. How do you make sure you actually get to them?
Well, you can email info out, or you can often email the marketing department, often call reception, and they may put you through.
Yeah. Tony from Glen Innes says, yep, businesses are aware they're slack in responding, but they just don't give a rat's.
Yeah, and I think that's really disappointing, because it's never been more important than ever at this time to actually attract top talent. Having an A-team is what's going to get you through COVID-19. And, you know, it costs between 50 and 70% on top of base salary to hire. So you want to do this right.
Right. Do you think then that people who are putting in job applications and not hearing anything back, should they follow up with a phone call, see if they can actually get a person to tell them whether they even got it?
Definitely. Definitely follow up with a phone call, because that gives you a chance to leave an impression too, because you get a chance to actually talk to a human being and create an impression or a view of what you're like as a candidate. And the fact that you followed up professionally, again, that enhances your application.
Oh, it's hard to just pick yourself up, but I guess you do. Lou's texted me and saying, when I was young, if I applied for work with several employers in the same field, I worked my hardest to take business from the firms that rejected me. It gave me great satisfaction.
I think that's brilliant.
That's very interesting. I suppose that's the flip of the coin, isn't it? That can happening. Now, we also wanted to talk to you about, you know, what's going on in the workplace at the moment. Natasha, what are you hearing from small businesses at the moment about JobKeeper and how it is working for them?
Look, I think it's challenging, but I think the bigger concern for me around JobKeeper is, if you think JobKeeper is just about paying a wage subsidy from the government, you've actually missed the point. And, you know, my concern here is that I spoke to a CFO the other day, and they were sitting at home, as are most of their team, doing very little. And this blows my mind, because it's such a wasted opportunity. Well, what I think is being missed here is you could use this time to redirect your employees to do all the things that you never have time for, like process reviews, systemization, product innovation, you know, writing new processes, training and upskilling your team. And it's about having the government pay for you to help you come out of this crisis number one in your industry. So I think a lot of people haven't actually done the second part of it. And the second issue is they've thought about it. And I think the accountants have done a brilliant job at getting everyone on to JobKeeper, but they haven't done the HR component. And the HR component is you have to consult with your employees, you have to communicate, you have to document them, everything, and you have to give them notice. You can't just say you stood down. There is a process that needs to be followed. And that's not happening.
And so when you say that they could be using this as an opportunity, so you're finding that a lot of people aren't doing as much. They're just sort of sitting there twiddling their thumbs, which is also dispiriting. And how creative do you have to be to find new things for them to do?
Not very creative. You know, we had a client who runs a day spa, and they were forced to close and not see any clients. So we said to them, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to use this time more creatively. So what they did was they cleaned the spa from top to bottom. They reviewed all of their processes. They rewrote numerous changes that had occurred over time. They did a business review, and they wrote an orientation program so that when they have new hires come in, they're going to be much more productive more quickly. And imagine what that does for team morale when you're bringing the whole team on the journey and getting them to share their wisdom and experience and insights. That means the whole team is getting through this together, and I think we do need to get through it together so the business survives and the employees have jobs.
And what are you hearing about people going back to work versus still staying at home? Because it seems a lot of businesses are saying if you can still stay at home, keep doing it. And I wonder how that's going for people, because some people love it and some people yes. hate it, and they're ready to go back into work and they're like, please let me in if you can.
Yeah. Look, there's a whole lot of things going on here. And actually the research that we're seeing is that the vast majority of people love it. We have a client who surveyed 450 of their employees. 64% had never worked from home before. Now, having done this, 91% of them want to continue working from
wow.
home.
Wow, 91%.
So that's massive, yes.
Full-time, so, they want to stay at home all the time.
No, not necessarily full-time, a range right. from yep. 1 to sort of 4 days. But I think there are some people who want to get home. You know, if you've got, we'll get back to the office rather, if you've got young kids, you know, there are better places to be.
Yeah.
But, and that's where our team struggled, because we're a working from home business, but once you threw the kids in there, that made it very, very difficult. So I think we've got a long way to go, because we physically can't get into many offices. But some businesses, for example, if you're in retail, you have to go to the shops. That's where the business is done. Mm. But I've been talking about working from home. I started my business working from home 8 years ago. I've been working periodically from home since 2001, so it's a norm for me. But for many people, this has been the light bulb change moment that we needed. And guess what? We're going to get more women and more people into the workforce that were prohibited by not physically being able to be in the office between 9 to 5.
Yeah. No, I think it's been really interesting to find how people go. I think some people are happy to get back, but a lot of people have found a whole new way of working. All right. Well, look, you've given us some really interesting insights tonight about where things are at. So use it this time wisely if you haven't got all your employers there. And, you know, if you have to go back to work, good luck to you. If you don't want to go, do you think people should have the right to say to their employer, can I keep working from home a couple of days a week?
Yes, and you can negotiate that, and it can be done well. So have a conversation with your boss and say, look, this is really working for me. Is there any way we can continue this? Make sure you set up this as how it's going to work for your boss, not from your perspective.
Uh-huh. And I then trial it. Say, give me 3 months. If you don't see my face 3 days yeah. a week after this.
And as long as I produce, you shouldn't care where
yeah.
I am.
Good point. Yep. All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Natasha.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sarah.
Great to chat. That's Natasha Hawker, HR specialist from Employee Matters. I'm